Good morning, Nashville. Welcome into the Michelle Knezovic Show. I'm Michelle Knezovic, joined with Jared Cassidy on the board today. We are live from the Hillside Medical Games Studio. And baby, college football is back. 1 week until we get to see some NFL games. Today is a good day, Jared. I have got my pumpkin iced coffee. I had a pumpkin donut this morning. The weather is a little brisk, and we've got a full slate of some football matchups today, some SEC football we're going to dive into, some Big Ten, some big changes in the college football landscape. We're also going to talk with Gentry Estes at 9:15. We're going to talk about some breaking news within the Titans organization, how you feel heading into week one. We're also going to get his thoughts on some of the changes in college football. And then, of course, we are going to give you some winners for today. And following me, we are live from 9 to 10 a.m. We'll, from 10 to 11 a.m. will be Caroline's with Caroline Fenton. Well, she will go into full depth on all the picks that she has for today's slate of games. But it's a good day. It's a good day, Jared. We've got football back. How are we doing? I always feel like this weekend is kind of, you know, that final summer weekend. And then next week, we will just be in full football mode. The weather still needs a little bit to catch up because I am ready for fall weather ASAP.
Yeah, for sure. I can't wait. Obviously, week zero, that's nice, but it only is going to get you so far. The big boys play today, and then the real men play next week. So just excited. You know, weather's changing. Football's back. Time to get sports. Let's clock in and go to work.
Let's clock in. I love the sound of that. If you listen to this show, you know how we like to start every Saturday morning with our morning brew. So grab your coffee. If you're looking at our stream, I've got my large pumpkin coffee right here. Our stream is presented by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. And we stream live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And then on Saturdays from 9 and now to 11 a.m. because we've got Caroline's back with Caroline Fenton following the Michelle Knezovic Show. So first, we're going to start with some Titans news this morning. Very, very sad news this week. Harold Landry just received his contract extension earlier this summer, and then we find out Thursday that on practice and Wednesday, he ended up tearing his ACL. So this is going to be a huge loss to the defense. I think Harold Landry last year ended up with about 12 sacks in the entire season and was one of those guys who was just so, so effective to the Titans pass rush, to this defense. We've been heading into this season thinking, you know, could this Titans defense be a top five, a top three defense in the NFL? And I was all in on that statement. I saw what this defense at the end of last year in that Cincinnati game did. And I know that the Bengals offensive line was not the strongest O-line, but I mean, 9 sacks in a game. And there were a couple that weren't counted. That's pretty incredible. And that's how you saw the team, you know, at the end of the year, just slowly but surely mesh together. And Bud Dupree was coming off that ACL injury, and you really saw him be effective with all these other guys. So Harold Landry did end last year with 12 sacks and was third among the best pass rushers. Finished with 49 quarterback pressures, 22 quarterback hits, 21 quarterback hurries, and 14 tackles for a loss. So was extremely effective for the Tennessee Titans on defense last year. He also was a guy who almost never missed a game. He was a guy who could be available and ready. And if you are playing in the NFL, if you're a coach in the NFL, if you've got a team in the NFL, what matters on game day is if you can be available on the field. We see so many injuries in this sport because it's football at the end of the day. You're going to get injured. But the fact that Harold Landry was a guy who was efficient and was able to be on the field every Sunday, it's going to be a big loss for this team. But I think if you look on the flip side of it, it's just going to put a lot more pressure on Bud Dupree. You signed Bud Dupree over a year ago now, came into training camp last year from the Steelers, coming off an ACL, also went to the University of Kentucky. Shout out BBN. That's my alma mater as well, and it's Catter Day today.
Oh, really?
So Bud Dupree coming off last year, we saw what he was able to do with the Steelers, definitely an effective guy. And he was coming off that injury last year, and then he got a core injury in the middle of the season, so we weren't able to see what Bud Dupree was getting paid for last year. But another year in this defense, another year in this organization, and just another year coming off rehabbing that knee, having his core feel better. That was such a strange injury, but you think about your core, how it's just like, I mean, it's the core of your entire body and how much it's going to affect you. So Bud Dupree played a little bit in some of these preseason games, but I think ultimately the loss of Harold Landry, he's going to be out for the entire season. People were texting in this week saying, well, will he be back for the Super Bowl? Let's just hold your horses. We haven't even gotten to week one yet. So we're just going to have to wait on that. But Harold Landry will be out for the entire season. In other Titans news, Derrick Henry, we reworked his deal. So star running back Derrick Henry, they have agreed to rework the contract that increases his pay to $14 million this season, including a $9 million signing bonus. So Jeremy Fowler reported that this week. It was pretty much the same day, or it was the same day as all of this Harold Landry news coming out. So that's kind of just another way that the Titans can like manipulate the cap, I feel like, right? Paying Derrick Henry more now. His contract is up in 2023, which is next year. So when I heard that news, it kind of made me think of, okay, are they getting ready to maybe pay a Jeffrey Simmons next year, or pay some of these younger guys where their contracts are coming up too? So Derrick Henry got that well-deserved raise. That guy looks like an absolute beast in training camp. But definitely sad news on the Harold Landry front. The final 53-man roster came out for the Tennessee Titans this week. Not too many surprises, I would say. Malik Willis did secure that spot. Logan Woodside ended up being able to – they cut him, and then you have – once you cut people, you have to make them available to the entire league. Nobody picked up Logan Woodside, so he will be on the practice squad. Also, some other big news, Racy McMath – a receiver who was turning some heads in training camp. People even said he could be more effective than Treylon Burks this year. He has now been placed on IR. So him with an injury, they moved up. His name is escaping me at the moment. Not Cody Hollister. Nope, I could be wrong on that. I will get that in 1 second. So Racy McMath is on IR, and then this week, the Titans went out and they signed Josh Gordon, a rookie wide receiver. He played for the Kansas City Chiefs. Not too effective for them last year. He is an older guy. He's like 31 or 32. So if you would have told us this, you know, a couple years ago, you're going to have Josh Gordon on your team and be like, oh my God, that guy is sick. He's a great wide receiver. But he's another veteran presence in the wide receiver room. I think he can be somewhat effective for this team. Like I said, didn't do much in Kansas City last year. Jared, what was your initial thought when you saw that?
Obviously, you know, he's had his fair chances. Maybe this could be one of the last steps, probably, I feel like. I mean, especially if he's on the practice squad. I mean, he's just adding depth at this point. I mean, you can't expect him to go out and put up huge numbers. I just don't see that being a possibility. I was kind of disappointed to see the Racy McMath injury just because I was really looking forward to seeing him. He had a good preseason, had some good practices. Even talked to TD about him for a while one night. Just really looking forward to that, and now it seems kind of like it's on the back burner now.
Yeah, and he was one of the guys, Racy McMath, like, compared to a T. Higgins out of Cincinnati, yep. Right? He's just like a freakishly big wide receiver, and I mean, usually you see a lot of these short and quick guys, but when you've got a receiver who's he's like 6'3 or 6'4, just a big guy, and he can play the way he does. He's a guy who's going to be effective. We saw it in training camp, you know, just another year in this Titans organization. I think he was on the practice squad last year, but being able to make the roster, but unfortunately placed on injury reserve. I was right when I said a second ago, Cody Hollister was moved up from the practice squad to the active roster, and then signed to the practice squad is Josh Gordon. So he is going to be on the practice squad. I would predict that he's going to get moved up to the active roster, whether it be, you know, this next week, or they're just figuring out, you know, who's healthy, right, who needs to be moved down and make all of those adjustments. So that's in your Titans news. As far as, you know, moving to college football, some huge news coming out yesterday that the 12-team playoff has been approved. So in 2026, we will see a 12-team college football playoff. I know this has been in the works for a while. When I was down at SEC Media Day, earlier this summer. I asked a lot of people questions about this, between NIL, between the collective, and just all of these changes happening in college football. The 12-team playoff was kind of on the back burner because people just didn't know, you know, how quickly would this come together. But the Board of Managers decided on the 12-team college football playoff. The 12-team model is expected to start in 2026 after the current contract is finished. So with all of these TV deals happening, with all of this movement in college football, conference realignment, we are pretty much in the thick of college football just completely changing. I really didn't think that this 12-team model would be approved this early. Maybe I was being naive to it, considering how fast we've seen realignment happen and how Texas and Oklahoma, that was about a year ago, and then we see UCLA and USC head to the Big Ten, and then we see the huge CBS Big Ten TV contract. I mean, slowly but surely, but almost fast in a way, really, really becoming a minor league NFL.
Yeah, for sure.
And I personally love the thought of a 12-team college playoff because too often we see that every year it's the same names. And those names, those teams will be in it, but it also will give more teams the opportunity. You'll have an Ohio State in there every single year. We saw Cincinnati be able to actually make it in last year, be one of the final four, and make it into the college football playoff. But I think you could see a lot of more Big Tens, a lot of more SEC schools get the opportunity. And for me, for more football, for a bigger college football playoff, I love the idea of it. Text us your thoughts, 615-737-1025, or call in. Our text and phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, we'll be joined with Gentry Estes from the Tennessean. We're going to get his thoughts on the college football playoff. We're going to get his thoughts on the Tennessee Titans, Harold Landry. And I've got one question for Gentry that he mentioned earlier this summer, and I want to see if he still believes it. You're listening to the Michelle Knezovic Show on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Welcome back into the Michelle Knezovic Show. I'm Michelle Knezovic, joined with Jared Cassidy. We are live today from the Hillside Medical Game Studios. If you want to weigh in on the phone or text line, our text line is and phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. That's 615-737-1025. And right now we go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Gentry Estes from the Tennessean. Gentry, how are we doing this morning?
Hey, good to be with you guys.
Thanks so much for joining us on this Saturday. Gentry, the way I look at Labor Day weekend and this Saturday is kind of like the calm before the storm. And especially with, we've got a good slate of college football games today. We just found out about the college football playoff. So before we get into the Titans, I want to get your thoughts on a 12-team playoff going into effect in 2026. What do you think? Do you think this is good for college football? Do you think this is bad for college football?
I mean, I think it's good. I think I did all, I thought that all along. What's interesting is how it came about. It was almost like a Friday news dump almost. Oh, by the way, we're doing this because, you know, I remember how much attention it had gotten when it was shot down once before. I do think it's probably best for the game. I've always supported a 16-team playoff where you let all the, every conference get an automatic bid, like the basketball tournament. That's probably not going to happen. That's something I've always kind of advocated for, though. So I'm all for more teams, though. And I do like the idea, too, that you've got these first-round games on campus sites. I think that's going to be a nice boost and a way to kind of make the regular season matter a little more because the seeding's going to matter a lot for those games on campus sites.
I completely agree. I say the more the merrier. The more teams, the more merrier. And I think that, you know, bringing in the aspect of having them on home field, you know, it's just going to be able to bring the fan base and everybody into it. But, yeah, it kind of just got tossed out there yesterday. And all of a sudden I checked Twitter and I thought, oh, wow, so it's really happening. And I posed this question to Jared Cassidy, my producer. I said, you know, within the last 2 years, we've seen NIL, we've seen conference realignment. Now we've got the 12-team playoff. Do you think that that college football is transitioning into a minor league NFL? I know it's crazy to say, but do you think that it's trending in that direction, Gentry?
Well, I think because it's a good question. I think because of the NIL stuff, obviously, you're introducing an element to college sports that's going to have to be dealt with on a much deeper level than what it has been to this point. Now, I don't know, you know, there will need to be some guardrails at some point, which would involve collective bargaining, you know, unionizing, things like that, that will be more indicative of a, you know, a pro minor league kind of setup. You know, college football is obviously very unique, but that's a change that I think is going to fundamentally alter where the future of the sport and how it's going to be set up in a lot of different ways. So whether or not you would call that, you know, a minor league for the NFL, which in a lot of ways it already is, but I think from the standpoint of, you know, players, you're going to have some recruits that could stand to make more money as a freshman in college than they would as an NFL player. And that's, like I say, a fundamental change that I think will completely alter the structure here, and it's going to be interesting to see, because you will have some freshmen who get these huge deals coming into colleges based off basically potential in a lot of ways, you know, star rankings and recruiting. And are they then going to continue to improve the way an NFL team would want to see? Are they going to, you know, is there going to be the appeal to leave early? There's a lot of ways that can play out, and a lot of ripples I don't think we've seen yet.
Yeah, we're pretty much just in the thick of it right now. I'm joined with Gentry Estes from the Tennessee. And Gentry, switching over to the Titans, obviously some not so good news this week with finding out that Harold Landry went down with an ACL injury. He's going to be out for the season. 12 sacks last year, was a guy who was just available, right? He wasn't one of the guys who was affected by injury and who was on and off the field. He's always just been a guy who every Sunday has been able to show up and be able to be on the field for this Titans team. How big of a loss do you think this is, you know, for the Titans, is specifically for this defense that a lot of talk setting into the season around this media area is that, you know, this could be a top five defense. This could potentially be a top three defense in the entire league.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge loss. I think Landry, if you go look back and start looking at snap counts the last few years, this is a guy who really, like I said, he barely left the field defensively. They asked a lot of Landry, had a lot of versatility in what they wanted to do, and I think that was evident by the deal the Titans gave him after last season. I mean, at the time, I didn't think it was a slam dunk that the Titans would pay up to keep Harold Landry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the production had not really been there the way it was for him until this last season when he put together a 12-sack season. You could say maybe, you know, that maybe that's a contract year kind of performance, and I didn't really know what to expect. But the Titans absolutely stepped up and made it clear how important he was to what they wanted to do by giving him the deal they did. So, obviously, you know, to lose him for the whole season, before the season even starts, that's tough. You know, obviously, there are different ways. You can say Bud Dupree needs to step up, which he does. Mm-hmm. You can say this is a great opportunity for Rashad Weaver, which it is. I thought he was awfully good in the preseason. I think he was a guy that was going to be difficult to keep off the field anyway. Nicola Adeniyi is a guy who has shown he can be effective in the pass rush, and you know there'll be some other guys on defense get more opportunity, but there really isn't a guy that can do what all Landry did for them, and I think that's why they gave him the money they did.
So you mentioned Bud Dupree there, Gentry. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean joins me right now. You mentioned Bud Dupree, and we saw bits and pieces from him last year. We know what he's been able to do from the Steelers. We've seen his college career. Shout out, University of Kentucky. And he also had that core injury last year. How much pressure do you think it is going to be on him to perform this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think he was going to have that anyway, just because, I mean, you talk about the deal Landry got. Well, Bud Dupree makes a lot of money, too. And I think he, you know, it was a little surprising to me, honestly, to see the Titans get the two deals like that at the same spot. So if nothing else, you look at a situation like what they're dealing with now with Landry and say, well, you still have Bud Dupree. And I expect a really good year from Bud Dupree. I think last year the ACL was really an issue for him. Going into the season, I think he came back a little too soon, and then he had a setback. I think he put a lot of pressure on himself. You know, he is coming into a new team with that big money deal, you know, really wanting to produce and make an impact. And I think he probably rushed himself back, and it hurt him health-wise for most of the season. So I view that him as a guy who could take a real leap in this defense. And I would have said that before Landry's injury. Now, you know, you wonder, can Rashad Weaver be enough of an impact player stepping in for Landry to get the defensive attention? I think one of the reasons that that front four last year was so effective was because they played off each other real well. I think these guys like Simmons and Autry were able to get a lot of the defensive attention, and they need someone now in that top four to be able to do what Landry would have done. Now, is that Rashad Weaver? I don't know, but I will say I have been awfully impressed with Rashad mm-hmm. Weaver this training camp. He's been very good, and while I don't think he would have been to the level of Harold Landry, I don't think it's impossible over the course of his career that he could get there.
I agree. I remember, I think it was it the Bucks game that he had a huge game, the last preseason game?
Yeah, and there were so, I mean, I remember last year before he got hurt, he had a really big preseason game against the Falcons, and he's had a few where he was the type that he would be, you'd watch a practice, and if he was having a good day, it'd be a great day. He wouldn't just make one or two plays. He would be unblockable for about an hour. You know, he
yeah.
had that streakiness to him. And I think you like that in an edge rusher, a guy who can kind of take over a game like that.
And Gentry, lastly, really quick, switching over to the offense. Obviously, this offensive line, it's just been all over the place this offseason, right? Is Dylan Radin's going to be the right tackle? No, he's not. Now it's Nicholas Petit-Frere. They've made some movements on the offensive line. Do you think it's still a huge concern heading into this season? I think I lost you there for a second. Gentry?
Yeah, I cut out for just a second.
Oh, there you go. You're good now.
I missed about half that question.
Oh, no worries. I just said, you know, we've seen a lot of movement with this offensive line between Dylan Radins and Nicholas Petit-Frere and other guys signed. What do you think? Do you think it's still a really big concern, this offensive line heading into week one next week?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And I think, I think as you look at the two spots, we come into this saying left guard, right tackle, and I think Aaron Brewer had a good camp. I think you look at that spot and you feel pretty good about where things are there. He was the left guard from day one and stayed there the whole time, and there really wasn't much question about that. They feel pretty confident with him stepping in for Roger Saffold. Now, the right tackle is a problem. I don't think they have a right tackle right now. Nicholas Petit-Frere did enough, I guess, to win the job in camp, but it almost felt like he was just a default choice because Dylan Radins didn't win it. Felt like Radins lost that job, that competition a lot more than Petit-Frere won it. I think this is a situation where, you know, you bring in the guy from Carolina, I think he'll maybe get a look, but it's not good to be going in the first game week of the season, you know, with everybody healthy and still not really knowing who your five are. And I think there's a big, big question at right tackle that hasn't been answered yet.
Gentry Estes, a pleasure as always. Thanks so much for joining us on this Saturday.
You bet, Michelle. Take care.
Have a good one. That was Gentry Estes from the Tennessean, talking college football, talking Tennessee Titans, what we're looking for heading into week one. We're going to recap that on the other side. There's one thing that Gentry said that I want to elaborate on. You are listening to the Michelle Knezevic Show on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Welcome back into the Michelle Knezevic Show. Happy Saturday, Nashville. I am Michelle Knezevic, joined with Jared Cassidy. Right now, we are live from the Hillside Medical Games Studio on this beautiful Saturday morning. Football is back. I am watching ESPN right in front of me as all of the SEC, Big Ten, big college football schools are walking into their game day. At Kentucky, they call it the catwalk. I know at every school, they call it something different when all the players walk in, you know, to the stadium. And I am just so pumped. I'm just staring at this TV right now. There are so many games that we are going to pick next segment at 9:45. Jared and I are going to give you our picks for the week. And then at 10 a.m. from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., Caroline Fenton is going to give you her picks on Caroline's. We've got a lot of betting action. We've got a lot of college football action. But first, I want to recap some of the stuff Gentry said in the last segment. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean talked a lot about the Tennessee Titans. A lot has happened this week, and I cannot even believe I forgot to mention this in the morning brew. One of the biggest headlines also is that Brett Kern was released from this team, longtime punter for the Tennessee Titans. They decided to go with the rookie, Ryan Stonehouse. We saw his performances in the preseason games, and that guy's got a cannon as a leg. Pretty, pretty incredible. A couple 64-yard punts. Brett Kern kind of alluded to the media after that game, after that preseason game. Yes, he had a great camp, but kind of alluded to them. You know, I get it. It's a business. You got to do what you got to do. And surprised at first was that, you know, a Buffalo and Indianapolis didn't try to scoop him up right away, because those are some teams that are looking for punters. And obviously with all of the news in Buffalo surrounding Matt Araza, the rookie punter out of San Diego State, and all of that terrible, awful news heading just surrounding Buffalo and surrounding him, they released him from their squad. So knew that Buffalo would obviously need a punter as well. But Brett Kern is still in Nashville. I don't know. Maybe he's done. I didn't really put into my head, you know, maybe it could be retirement for him. Maybe he's, you know, done playing, just living in Nashville. Everybody thought, you know, well, he's from up near Buffalo, so maybe he'll go back home. His dad did make an appearance on a radio show up in Niagara, New York, which is right near Buffalo, pretty much just saying, like, you know, no rushing moves or anything like that. So, Jared, were you pretty surprised when the rookie, Ryan Stonehouse, won the job from him? I mean, I know by his performance, it's not too surprising considering he could be the answer at punter for the next 10 years. But Brett Kern has been a part of this organization. This organization's really only had two punters. Brett Kern's been your guy.
Yeah, and Craig Hendrick for the longest time there too. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm not shocked about it, especially since now that they readjusted, maneuvered Derrick Henry's contract and gave him that money, kind of makes a little bit of sense. Stonehouse has a golden leg. So, I mean, if this guy can produce, then that might be the answer. But this, to me, looks like a move for the future. Obviously, Brett Kern is not 22. He's not an old man, but he's not as young as he once was. So this, to me, just seems like, you know, let's save a little money. Let's get him in here. From everything that I've read and heard, seems like that Brett Kern's going to hang around here. Obviously, he enjoys Nashville. His family is a big part of his life, too. So doesn't really want to uproot anything like that right now. You know, you never know. Injuries can happen anytime. Maybe the Titans call him back. You never know.
Yeah, I actually kind of thought that in my head, too. You know, maybe he's an option if Ryan Stonehouse, you know, has a couple mistakes and they think, well, Brett Kern's here and he's available and he's been a part of this organization forever. And I was trying to figure out who tweeted this out of the Nashville Titans media members, and I'm sorry I can't find it right now, but somebody tweeted that now on this current Titans roster, Taylor Lewan is the only player who's been a part of a losing season.
Yeah.
And Jared, you have been following the Titans. You've lived in Tennessee, you know, for your whole life. And me just moving here over a year and a half ago, just about, has really only seen success from this team. And one of the best seasons, I mean, I know the ending was not the best, but getting the number one seed and overcoming so much throughout the year. And even the last couple of years, especially since Mike Vrabel and John Robinson have been at the helm, you've really seen this franchise become, I mean, for the last couple of years, winning. I mean, they've won the division. They got the number one seed. And it's been very, very successful. To you, to hear that stat, like, what goes through your head?
It's pretty mind-blowing, but I mean, like you said, I've sat here and seen it all unfold in my own eyes. So, you know, there were a lot of years where we would go 8-8. There were a lot of years where we would go 2-14. I believe Taylor Wan's first year was 2-14. So that was probably the last time. That was the Ken Wisenhunt era. It's just kind of crazy. This franchise has made a turnaround for sure. At some parts, we're a laughingstock. Nobody picked us in the AFC South. Obviously, Peyton Manning being in there had a lot to do with it.
And then Andrew Luck.
Right, and then Andrew Luck. So it was just like the never-ending story from them. But the Titans do stand a good chance. We got some momentum. We've had a bunch of good years. J-Rob, Mike Vrabel obviously make a pretty good duo. with some hiccups, but any team in the NFL, NBA, whatever you want to look at, they're going to have hiccups. It's just, how do you respond from those? How do you move on? How do you make your team better and not do stupid stuff to hurt the team, as Vrabel would say?
There you go. I was just going to say, you threw that one in there, a little Vrabel. He does have a little stupid isn't his word of choice, but I'm sure you can use your imagination, everybody right. listening, and figuring out what he decides to use for that word. But I think you hit on a really interesting point right there. You know, the combination of John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, and maybe we're not able to realize it because we were in the midst of covering this Titans team last year. But if you take a step back and you look at the amount of injuries, and it was on every national televised show that the Tennessee Titans broke the record for most guys they had to make active because of all the injuries that happened to this team, still overcame it, still were able to win the one seed, obviously ended up losing to the Bengals in the playoffs. But, you know, while you're in the midst of it covering it, you just think, okay, yep, just another day, another story, this player's hurt, and you're seeing all these news. But when you take a step back and realize, wow, what they had to overcome and what they actually were able to do to get that one seed. Ryan Tannehill had a revolving door at wide receiver last year. And yes, A.J. Brown was on the team. And yes, A.J. Brown has now since been traded to the Eagles. And you don't have a guy like A.J. Brown who won the San Francisco game for you, who can scare a defense, who can have two guys on him and still find a way to make the catch all the way down the field. But I'm actually pretty confident, I think, in this offense, and it's just been through training camp and what we've seen from some starters during preseason games, but I think the quantity of players that Ryan Tannehill has is just going to allow him to excel at a – I mean, think about it last year. He had A.J. Brown kind of because he would be injured on and off, and then he had food poisoning for about 2 weeks, I remember, with the whole Chipotle – well, we're not going to name names, with the whole thing last year. And then Julio Jones was always hurt, and then Derrick Henry got hurt, and his number one wide receiver was
NWI,
Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. And we've seen – I think Nick Westbrook-Ikhine looks great, but then again, he's a guy who was an undrafted guy in 2020. And Aaron Brewer was an undrafted guy in 2020. And there's another name that I'm forgetting that I will look up in just a second. But those were guys that you won on in the 2020 class. And if you look at that 2020 class, the only guy who you drafted who you still have on that team is Christian Fulton.
Wow.
So John Robinson got asked some questions about that earlier this week when him and Mike Vrabel spoke on Tuesday about the final 53-man roster. And he said, you know, 2020 was a weird year, and I get it, it was COVID. But think about that. If you look at that 2020 class, and don't think about the guys who were special finds, like a Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and a Brewer, but Christian Fulton is the only guy. That was only 2 years ago. So, and yes, your 2019 class was great, but it's just interesting to look back at that class. And then you talk about a Dylan Raidens, a second-round guy who – I can't even talk about it anymore because it's just been talked so much about, will he be the right tackle? Will he not be the right tackle? And no, he's not. And now he's a backup. And he did make the roster. And he's a depth guy you can have on his team. I think that, you know, he had every opportunity to win this job. And then you see the rookie Nicholas Petit-Frere come in and take it from him. I agree with what Gentry said, that I don't know necessarily if Petit-Frere really won that job as much as Dylan Raidens didn't win it, if that makes sense. And what they've been looking for Dylan Raidens over the last 2 years now just hasn't been there. So maybe that comes down to the scouting. He also didn't play his senior year, and then he didn't really play last year. But I don't know. Maybe he's just not a guy who can play in the NFL, but it's still a question mark. I don't think I can sit here and definitively say that, you know, he can, because I think that he still has some opportunities left. I think that if you thought he could be a starter, which he's not, he's a guy that you're going to need as a depth position because your offensive line has a big question mark on it. and you don't really know what you're going to see from it because of the loss of Roger Saffold, and you have a couple new guys in there. Nate Davis didn't have the best year last year. He also had COVID twice. You've got Taylor Lewan, though, coming another year off that ACL injury. He said he's felt his best ever when they headed into OTAs this year. A lot of question marks still, the offensive line, but next Saturday, it will be the eve of week one, and we will see them. We'll see that O-line in action against the Giants in Nissan Stadium. But we're going to get to some college football right now. Jared and I are going to pick some winners. Stay with us. You're listening to the Michelle Knezovic Show on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Now, how can that music not just get you so fired up? Welcome back into the Michelle Knezovic Show. I'm Michelle Knezovic with Jared Cassidy with the most amazing song to lead into this segment. Just gets me so excited to watch some.
Yep, I can run through a brick wall right now.
Makes me so excited to watch some college football this morning, afternoon. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio. If you have any picks, if you have any games, you think you got some locks, text us, 615-737-1025. That's 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're also streaming on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook Live, presented by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Jared, it is that time. Are you ready to make some picks to help people make some money today?
You know it.
So we've got a couple games that are kind of headlining our tour, and we will start with We will start with Utah, Florida. So Utah is ranked 7th in the preseason top 25 polls heading into this season. That game is going to be at 11 a.m. Central Time. And Utah is favored by 1.5, which to me is a little surprising. Not that they're favored, but by their why they're only favored by 1.5. Because Florida still has a question mark. You know, first year under Billy Napier, not really sure what this Florida team, they could be a 7-5 team. They could go to a bowl game. You know, they could be, I you just don't know with this Florida team. We saw them kind of crumble at the end of last year. And now with a new head coach, just don't really, they're probably one of the biggest question marks I have as far as the entire SEC.
I mean, would agree.
They'll still probably beat Tennessee, but
probably.
So, Jared, who are you picking in this game? To me, it's going to be easy. Utah minus the 1.5 all day, every day. Money line, pick them to cover the spread. I think they cover that very easily.
Yeah, I'm going the opposite way here.
Woo!
Yeah, I will take the Gators, and the sportsbook of my choice had it at a 2.5. So I will take the Florida Gators, and let's see what the Billy Napier era brings us.
Whoa, we got a Tennessee fan just going all in on Florida. The 2.5, though, I like that a little bit more. But for the 1.5, I'm taking Utah minus the 1.5. Okay, moving forward to a 2:30 Central kickoff, we've got Cincinnati, Arkansas. I would say this is probably the game is probably one of my top. I mean, there's not too many great games today, but that one's right up there for me. You know, Cincinnati coming off their huge win. They're ranked 23rd coming into this season. Arkansas ranked 19th coming into this season. Arkansas was a team, you know, at SEC Media Day that everybody thought, you know, they could be that third best team in the SEC. You've got Alabama, Georgia, however you want to put them, 1-2. And then who's going to fill that third spot? A lot of people said Arkansas. People are sleeping on Arkansas this year. Woo-soo piggy, or however you say it.
Woo pig?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Who you got, Jared? I'll let you go first on this one. On my sports book, I've got Arkansas minus 6.5.
Yep, that's what I got on mine. And I will take the Fighting Hogs.
Oh, okay.
And I will also take the over on that.
Okay.
Over currently at 53.5.
Yeah, I agree on this one. I think, you know, we saw what Cincinnati could do last year, but obviously quarterback heads to the NFL down in Atlanta. But Arkansas, I think they're going to at least win by a touchdown or more. So give me Arkansas minus the 6.5. I'll also take the over on that one as well. That kickoff's going to be at 2:30 Central Time. Okay, pushing forward, we have got one of the big games tonight. These ones, we've got another 2:30 Central, Oregon-Georgia. Georgia third coming into this season, Oregon 11th. Georgia is favored by 16.5. Now that to me, listen, Caroline Fenton and I have talked about this. We talked about this a lot at SEC Media Day, that, you know, nobody is talking about Georgia the way they talked about LSU when they had, you know, 14 or so guys head into the NFL after coming off that huge national championship season. Joe Burrow, right, Jamar Chase, all of those guys. And saying, oh, you know, LSU is not going to be the team they were, right? They're going to have that national championship hangover. But then you flip it to Georgia. I mean, they had, I think, 14 or 15 guys head into the NFL draft, but it doesn't matter. People are saying they're still going to be what they were last year, and I'm not so confident in that. I mean, I'm confident in Georgia. I'm confident in Kirby Smart, you know, as far as recruiting, but, you know, to have that many guys head to the next level, I don't know if I see them as 16.5-point favorites tonight. Also, too, their offense, they're not a team that's going to put up huge points, right? So I'm going to take Oregon plus the 16.5, and I'm going to take the under on this game. The over-under is 54.5.
Okay. Well, I hate to do this.
No,
I've already written it down. I've got a side with you on this.
Okay.
I will take the 16 with Oregon, and then I like the under in this one a little bit more than the over.
Yeah, Georgia's just not one of those teams that – I do think that, you know, Georgia will win money line. I think that you pick Georgia on the money line, but you take Oregon plus the 16.5, and I think you take the under. Georgia's not a team that's going to be, you know, offensively flashy like we see at Tennessee. They're going to put up all these points. They're going to be a defense-heavy team. So I think we're, like you said, we're on the same page for that one. Okay, next game, 6:30 Central. This is the game that everybody's talking about. You've got Notre Dame ranked fifth coming into the season, and then you've got Ohio State second. Okay, so this is the big game. Everybody, you know, is talking about it and stuff. Ohio State favored by 15.5. The over-under is 59.5. Jared, I'll let you go first on this one.
All right, I will take the Buckeyes from the state of Ohio, and I will take the over in this because points galore is what I believe is going to happen today.
I agree. I think this is going to be very offensively pleasing. Give me the over on this game. I think Ohio State on the money line. Pretty big spread, but I'm not too high on Notre Dame. So, although you got to play like a champion, give me the Buckeyes minus 15.5. Also, shout out to my cousin Shane Knezovic. He's a freshman there, so he'll be experiencing his first game day, which will be pretty awesome. Okay, finally, quickly, Jared, give me – oh, we're going to do Florida State, LSU. LSU favored by 3.5. Oh, this one's a hard one. Over, under 49.5. I take the over on that one, and then give me LSU minus 3.5.
Yeah, I'm just going to take LSU in the 3.5, and this one, the over and under, kind of scares me on this.
Yeah, it does scare me a tad. Okay, Jared, give me your last pick really quick for the day. Give me your lock.
Yeah, so Western Kentucky is facing Hawaii in that tropical land. I will take the Hilltoppers at 16.5.
Okay, I love to hear it. And come on, if you know me, you know anything that I can't go without a Catterday without picking my Kentucky Wildcats. 6 p.m. Central Time, Kentucky favored by 14.5 over Miami of Ohio. Give me Kentucky all day, every day. They're going to cover the 14.5. They are going to obviously win. And over, under 54.5, I'm going to take the under on that one. It's been a great day. College football is back, baby. We will be back here next Saturday from 9 to 10. We'll be able to preview the Titans as they will be heading into week one against the Giants. But now I'm going to pass the baton to my good friend Caroline Fenton as she begins Caroline's Next. You are listening to 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app.